Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. This is Pastor Ralph Ovenell. I'm going to start this program with 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, the strategy employed by many Christians today who do love the world and who don't want to give up foolish and even ungodly worldly pleasures, the strategy is to simply Christianize the thing in question and perhaps pretend they're participating in it as a way to evangelize others and bring glory to God. But in the end, such dissimulation just corrupts the body of Christ and it strengthens the hand of the devil. And as Exhibit A, I direct you to an issue we've talked about before on this program, but not for quite some time, organized spectator sports. Now, as in the case with so many other things, many Christians are running after the world in this situation, in this decadent age. As in every decadent age, men who have rejected God are increasingly caught up in worshiping the creature rather than the Creator as they fill their lives with things that gratify the flesh and distract the mind from the inevitable end that awaits them, which is death. And many, many Christians are also deep into this Greco-Roman sports fetish as well. But with the help of Christian radio networks and other so-called ministries, these Christians have convinced themselves that sports, including the gross, sensual, commercialized college and professional sports, I'm thinking right now of football, for instance, somehow this all brings glory to God. Well, the so-called Super Bowl Sunday is coming up, and I thought this would be a good time to talk about this grievous situation. It is a grievous situation. It's a grievous situation in which men who were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and women increasingly, are spending their time sitting in front of television sets, even on the Lord's Day, being neutralized and being corrupted by professional sports. And we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about how the Lord's people are being led astray in this regard by so-called Christian ministries. My guest is Reverend Stephen Hamilton. He's pastor of Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Reverend Hamilton, good to have you on the program again.
Good to talk to you again, brother.
Well, before we go any further, I want to stress that I understand why unbelievers are enamored with sports. We're not here today to take them to task. We're also not here to condemn children who get up a game of baseball or basketball. I imagine we're in agreement on that.
Absolutely. There's no harm in a game of sports. I am quite sporty myself, at least I was in my earlier years, and, you know, good wholesome fun. We've had that on even things like our Sunday school outings and church outings and the like, but this is not what we're speaking about today.
No, we're not, and we're not going to jump all over unbelievers because they like to watch football. Well, of course they like to watch football, they're unbelievers. We're talking about people who claim Christ now, and yet they act just like these unbelievers. Now, this trick, as we get into this issue, I want to talk about this trick of dressing worldly entertainment and sports up in Christian garb. I mean, this is becoming increasingly prevalent, and isn't this deceptive and dangerous, and isn't this harmful to the Lord's cause and to his people?
Well, it absolutely is, because first of all, it's a denial of who we are as the people of God. The scripture tells us that we are to be holy because God is holy. We are to come out from among them and to be separate, and the Lord will receive us. There is no fellowship between light and darkness, between the temple of God and idols. And there's so many scriptures that we could bring to bear on this issue. The Lord said to the people of God in Israel that he had made them to be a people who were different. It was the Lord who put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And the Lord who has made a difference between us as his people and the world expects us to show forth that difference. If we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy people, we are to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I believe that those who want to become like the world are denying what the scripture says about this issue.
And in some cases, those who, once they know the truth, continue to be like the world, then we have to wonder if we have some tares among the wheat. Now, I would say this, that pastors and elders have an obligation here to lead the way and teach the truth here instead of being up in their pulpit making jokes about how they wish they were watching the game right now and so on and so forth, instead of spearheading these Super Bowl parties to bring people into the church to watch football and then supposedly use it as a vehicle for witnessing. Why don't you go out into the streets with the gospel, with the power of God unto salvation, all who believe, and just do it the good old-fashioned way, which is the biblical way, and just share the gospel. But I was thinking, as I was thinking about this program, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed differences between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. Doesn't that just sort of sum it up when it comes to the pastors and the elders of the Lord's church and their responsibility with regard to the issue we're talking about?
Well, it absolutely does. I think that so many pastors and Christian leaders almost have taken the approach, if you can't beat them, join them. And I believe, having looked at this issue of the Super Bowl in particular, that that is the idea behind the Super Bowl party in church, the alternative halftime show in church, try to bring ungodly people into an event that they're already very deeply involved in, emotionally and every other way. And the idea is that if we can't beat the world, because after all, on Super Bowl Sunday, everybody's going to be watching the Super Bowl, so we may as well join in with it and Christianize it. And the whole idea of that militates against the gospel. I mean, I was looking at a website. It's called sportsspectrum.com. And I was interested in the title on the banner headline. Yeah. It's their own logo. And here's what it says: where sports and faith collide. And I thought that was very revealing, because it doesn't say where sports and faith connect. It says where sports and faith collide. And isn't that true? Isn't that exactly what we're looking at here? It's exactly what we're facing here, is professional sports and even college sports in some instances, and the faith of Jesus Christ on a collision course.
Yeah.
And there's only going to be one winner as far as the world is concerned.
That's exactly right. And we are discipling the world to not give up anything that's ungodly and unwholesome and unbiblical, but rather let's just keep it and let's put a Christian spin to it. And I want to get to that ministry called Sports Spectrum, because I had that very note down. I wanted to bring that up as well. They didn't mean it that way, but that was a warning to anyone that goes there where sports and faith collide. They were just using a little sporty language there. But let me just talk briefly about this Sports Spectrum, and then we'll bring you into this as well with some comments. But this is a radio program, but it's also a magazine. So you have it's the same ministry, but the radio program, and very popular, it's on Christian networks all over the country, even so-called, I don't like to call myself a conservative, but they would call themselves conservative Christian radio networks. They have this. It's a ministry. Now, the radio program is a ministry of radio Bible class. I thought that was interesting. And we'll get to the radio program in a little while, and we're going to talk about it and play some clips from it. But then you have Sports Spectrum magazine. This is owned and operated by Sports Spectrum Publishing of North Carolina. And there seems to be a bit of a profit motive here. I mean, you can get the magazine, a one-year subscription, for $27.52. I'm not against profit, believe me, but when I see ministries that seem to be very into profit, I get pretty concerned. You can get items such as one-year devotional booklets, written, of course, by your favorite Christian athletes, for only $13.95 plus shipping and handling. I mean, this is just a little booklet with a devotion for the year. And then they have these very expensive Power to Win outreach party kits for Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, these things are very, very expensive. I don't know, they're up to $100 and I forget what it was, way over, I guess $135, that's what they are. And what is it? Some couple of posters, a video, a book, some booklets, and some free Sports Spectrum magazines, of course, which they give away for promotion. Now, you already brought up sports and faith collide. Let me just read the mission statement. It says this: Sports Spectrum magazine seeks to highlight Christian athletes of all sports and levels to help motivate, encourage, and inspire people in their faith through the exciting and challenging world of sports. Now, I'm going to read you a comment from their website, and then I want you to comment on this. This has to do with these Super Bowl parties. And by the way, it's not, you know, let's add insult to injury. It's on the Lord's Day. These people care nothing about honoring the Lord's Day. But listen to this, and then you comment. Want a powerful, non-threatening, fun way to present the gospel? Looking for somewhere to watch football's big game? Have a power to win outreach party. Now, you could spend about three or four sermons out of that one.
Well, it almost beggars belief that a Christian, any true Christian, would use that kind of terminology in referring to the gospel, that there could be a powerful, non-threatening,
fun
way to present the gospel. What do they mean by non-threatening? Do they mean that it's not preaching, it's not challenging the heart of the ungodly person to think about their sin? Is that what they mean by non-threatening? I think it is. I believe also the fun way to present the gospel throws up the immediate question, what is it that's funny about God incarnate taking human flesh and being nailed to a tree for our sins?
Yeah.
What is funny about the cross work of Christ? What is funny about the atonement? And of course, this has wider implications for people like so-called Christian comedians. But this whole Hollywood evangelism, as one preacher called it, it's not a new thing. Of course, the Super Bowl is relatively new because it came in within the last 30 to 35 years. But this is just another manifestation of something that's been with us for a very long time. And that is the idea that you can be cool and be Christian. The idea that you can be just like everybody else. You don't look out of place. You don't sound out of place. But there's something about you that's different, and we want to talk about that, but at the same time, we don't want to show it. And really, it does go back to what you said earlier, and that is, has there been a real work of grace wrought in the hearts of such people? Is there a real difference? Because if there's a difference in the heart, there will surely be a difference in the life. And this whole idea of, you know, cool Christianity is something that is certainly applicable to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's another organization which encompasses many different sportsmen and coaches, etc. They have on their particular website, which I went to, a listing of their ministry partners. And among those, you have Interlink, which is basically just a rock music site. It's rock music by any other name. You have another so-called ministry called True Love Waits, which is basically a morality movement among young people to teach abstinence, which, of course, we are for. We are certainly in agreement with. But the problem with it is that it's morality without the gospel.
Yeah.
But also, there's a ministry partner to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes called Power Moves. And that's hosted by a former NFL player. I believe he was from Denver. And he speaks to youth in quote-unquote cool language. Basically, it's street talk. And anything that I've read from this individual, it is all moralizing. You know, don't do drugs, don't have premarital sex, all of this sort of thing. And there's no gospel connected with it.
Yeah.
And I really believe that this idea that we can have a non-threatening and fun presentation of the gospel is entirely false.
Yeah, it's all about a gospel and a Jesus for this world only, just so that we live better lives and we don't end up, you know, maybe with a diseased liver from drinking or with sexually transmitted diseases, because these things, it's so sad when these things happen. And so we don't want that to happen to you kids, but they don't care about their souls. They don't care about the gospel. Paul says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust, what a trust. With the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Paul says, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. But let's move on. I want to move on to another prime example. I'm glad you brought up Christian Athletes, that organization. Here's another one. This one really tripped my trigger, and we're just going to talk about it for a little while. This is, we're going over to Christian Radio now. This is something called Christian Sports Minute, and Christian networks all across the country air this. And this is just another prime example of this Christian sports madness, if you will. I'm not going to spend much time here, but I don't know if you had a chance to review that site, but Christian Sports Minute is all about so-called heroes of faith in the sports world. For instance, I listened to a Christian Sports Minute where a golfer was talking about how I couldn't do it without the Lord. I don't know how the people that aren't supposedly saved are doing it without the Lord then, that go to the top of the game. But I couldn't do it without the Lord. It's all to glorify God. I mean, what is it now? Instead of we wrestle not against flesh and blood, is it we putt not against flesh and blood? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. And did you see the Heroes of the Faith booklet? I thought that was disgusting. It says filled with 24 testimonials from the front lines of Christian athletes from around the globe. Heroes of the Faith makes an excellent gift for sports fans or athletes in your life. I thought that was disgusting.
I agree. Again, it's the idea that you can be cool and be a Christian. And you bring up a very good point there concerning the golf. That's one example that comes to mind when we talk about where sports and faith collide. Because when you think about it, someone who plays professional golf spends every Thursday and Friday trying to get out of going to church on the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about it. When someone makes the cut, as they call it, and they get into the last, whatever the number is, that gets in for the weekend, this is the whole idea, to be there coming up the stretch, as they call it, on Sunday afternoon. And it is something that militates against the worship of God. And you brought up the point, and I hope I'm okay to go along with it at this point in our conversation, but as it comes to my mind, I want to comment on it. One of the greatest collisions where sports and faith collide is in relation to God's worship on God's day.
Amen.
Because I personally believe, brother, that athletes do more to destroy the worship of God than any other group, except perhaps for traders and store owners. Because Sunday sports is such a huge phenomenon, whether we want to talk about golf, where the final day is usually on a Sunday, football, and we've talked about, you know, the Super Bowl, it's a big, big thing, and it's on the Lord's Day. Baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever major sport you want to talk about, Sunday is a big day. And athletes, for all that they can talk about God and talk about how wonderful it is to be serving God, and when they run into the end zone, they point their finger to the sky or they kneel as if they're praying. It's just so much nonsense, because they're leading people in a direction that is away from God and not towards God.
Amen. And what a testimony to the world. The man makes a touchdown, for instance, and he says, well, God gave me this touchdown. Now, what does the world think? Well, then this team that wins must be God's team, and on. It's just reprehensible. And, you know, as we think of good missionaries laboring around the world for Christ, and we think of people in countries where they're being persecuted for the cause of Christ and suffering, and we look back over the centuries and we see all the blood that's been spilled by the martyrs, their blood spilled by their persecutors, and we see these heroes, and then we're supposed to look to people running around, kicking a ball, so on and so forth, making a living by playing games. These are our heroes now. These are thy gods, O Israel. And it's I just find it reprehensible. Find it reprehensible that many young people who believe they're in a Christian church, they don't even know the names of the great heroes of the faith, but they know the names of these guys that make their living playing games. But I want to go on now. I want to go on to a segment that's going to take us a little while here. We're going back to Sports Spectrum, this whole ministry. Remember, it's the magazine, and then there's the radio program. This radio program is very popular. 60 minutes long. It airs on Christian radio networks all across the country. It's a ministry of radio Bible class. And this past week, I listened to portions of a tape of Sports Spectrum, finally. The program, I mean, I've tuned in a little bit here and there just and heard these goofy, brassy voices, you know, talking just like the world's sports announcers and just was discussed and turned it off, of course. But I listened to a tape, and the program hosts mainly talk about sports. The vast majority is just chatter about sports. They sound like any secular sports talk guys, except then they have these little segments where they throw in some supposedly Christian teaching, and, of course, they relate it to sports. Now, I want to do this. I want to listen to the introduction of that Saturday, I have to give credit to where we got this, January 7th program of Sports Spectrum. I want to play that clip, and then we'll pause for a minute, and then maybe comment on that. Then we'll listen to one of their so-called teachings. So let's just listen to the introduction of this show that's supposed to win so many to Christ.
Sports Spectrum, addressing the real issues in sports and life.
It's a Sports Spectrum Saturday. Thanks for being with us. Bill Houston and Doug Redford with you, and we have a great hour of sports talk coming your way. We'll hear from Ron Brown and Frank Gardenia from the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, Texas. Also, Mick Hubert, the radio voice of the Florida Gators, will be here. We'll check in with Chuck Swirsky to talk some NBA, find out about those Raptors who are on a red hot streak, if you can believe that. And Clyde Christensen, wide receivers coach with the Indianapolis Colts, will be here. It's a great hour of sports talk. We hope you can be with us for the entire time. And Doug, this is the weekend that we kick off the playoffs. It's a wild card weekend in the NFL.
All right. To me, that sounds like the world. And also, again, I think it just highlights it's a wild weekend. They're talking about, you know, Sunday, the Lord's Day. But did you want to comment on that before we go to another clip?
Well, I think you've hit the nail right on the head, which is, what is the difference between that and the world? And the answer might well be, for even from their perspective, well, there is no difference, and that's part of where we're coming from. They want to present a non-threatening atmosphere for both those that say they're Christians and those who don't. But the problem is that not only is it non-threatening, it is non-gospel and non-biblical. I didn't hear one word, unless I'm mistaken, about the Lord, about the Bible, about Christ, about anything but sports. And the whole excitement, the razzmatazz, all the, as you say, the breathy voices, the exciting content, it all smacks of the world. And the scripture that you read right at the beginning basically says it for me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this whole business of playoff weekend and what a wonderful weekend is coming up. It's not a wonderful weekend because we're going to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping the Lord and being devoted to Christ. It's a wonderful weekend because it's playoff weekend. It's a wonderful weekend because people are going to be having their tailgating parties with their beer and their brats and all of that outside the stadium and inside the stadium. The whole thing, frankly, is nauseating to me as a Christian and as a minister.
It sure is. And when you think of everything connected with professional football, we could talk a great deal about what they are condoning and saying, this is all right. Let's go on and read the next verse in 1 John. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's exactly a great, if we're talking about football, that is a great description of what football, professional football, is all about. The lust of the flesh, it's the building up of these men as demigods for their fans. It's about the cheerleaders, the pom-pom girls, whatever it is they have out there, the dance teams, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This isn't of the Father, it's of the world. But here they're saying, well, this is a Christian ministry. We're so excited about sports. And they're not going out to the stadiums to hand out gospel tracts. I mean, they're excited about sports and want people to be involved in sports. And, oh, while we're at it, we'll share a little Bible with you. Pastor, I want to go on. I'm watching the clock. I want to get everything in, and we will.
Yes.
But, you know, we're supposed to be a city set on a hill. Now, you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but that means we're supposed to be lifted out of this world, so to speak. We're supposed to be pilgrims and aliens and strangers in this world, and we're supposed to be something, the Church of Jesus Christ is to look different from the world, totally different, a city set on a hill to where people see a clear line, a demarcation between the world and the church. And then they're confronted with the reality of the holiness of Christ and the reality that they are separated from God and under a sentence of damnation, held captive under the law of sin and death, and they are children of wrath. Unless they repent and turn to Christ in faith, they will spend eternity in hell. But, I mean, this is nothing about being a city set on a hill. When you hear that introduction, you listen to that program.
Well, you could use the other illustration that the Lord used of being the salt of the earth,
Yeah. The
salt which preserves, the salt which, frankly, causes a wound to smart and to sting. This is the kind of reaction that the gospel will cause among the ungodly when people don't want to hear what we have to say. But, you know, the whole idea that someone who's on a multi-million dollar contract, you know, whatever it is, 5 years at $11 million a year, that somehow what he's doing is doing for the glory of God. Frankly, not only do I not believe it, I don't think the world believe it either. And the idea that this is somehow being done for the glory of Christ, and really money is not the motivation, it's really the opportunity to serve the Lord, is just, again, so much nonsense. And the ungodliness surrounding sports you have identified. Let me give you an illustration. Quite inadvertently, I received a newspaper in the mail. It was actually for my neighbor, but because the post person got it wrong, the mail carrier got it wrong, he delivered it to my home instead. And it was disgusting. It was a newspaper which was to do with the Dallas Cowboys NFL football team, and it was devoted to the cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, frankly, half naked. And I thought to myself, how could someone be a coach or, you know, defensive lineman or whatever he happens to be for the Dallas Cowboys and be identified and associated with that?
Yeah.
And you have, you know, the Budweiser, the Miller Time,
Yeah.
All of the wickedness that surrounds professional sports. And for someone to say that that's a calling that God has given to me, to my mind, is like saying that a Christian can go work in a casino or a strip club or something of that kind.
I agree.
It's completely the antithesis of the gospel of Christ. I'm caused to think by way of contrast of someone like C.T. Studd, who was a missionary to China, India, and Africa. C.T. Studd was in professional sports in England. He was a cricketer. And cricket, of course, is akin to something like baseball here. There was a lot of money to be made even in those days. C.T. Studd gave up a career in cricket, and he made the statement, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice that I could make for him would be too great."
Amen.
And I look at that and think by way of contrast of someone in the NFL or the NBA or the NHL or whatever, and the quite frankly, the anemic presentation of Christ from them, it really brings the whole thing into sharp focus. Again, I think of a sportsman in the past who was from Scotland. His name was Eric Liddell, or Liddell. His story inspired a movie, of all things, called Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell was an Olympian. He was a runner. And he refused to run on the Lord's Day because of his Christian faith. Although that would be something that would cause great personal heartache to him, in the sense that he could not run for the gold medal in that event. But he said, "My faith in Jesus Christ is far more important than sports." And I think there's no way for an Eric Liddell to exist today because of the way sports are set up.
Yeah.
It's impossible to be a Christian and to serve the Lord the way the scripture would identify that we're to serve him and be involved in professional sports, because as I've said before, most of what takes place on the Lord's own day.
Well, of course, the sports spectrum, which is something that needs to be exposed, and people should say to their Christian radio networks, why are you playing that? But this sports spectrum is just filled with linebacker coaches and all these different coaches and players that are supposedly servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to think that they're heroes. And I don't follow professional sports. I don't watch it. I don't have anything to do with it. But I do follow the news. I know there's a big controversy right now because of a Christian group taking this Detroit Pistons to task. Now, I think they might be basketball. They might be football. I don't know. But they have a girly calendar. And I think this is pretty widespread throughout professional sports. But, you know, I would just say to the Christian who's listening, if you're listening to this and you're caught up in these sports, how many hours and hours do you spend watching sports, thinking about sports, reading about sports? Don't you see the devil is taking you away from the service that you were created in Christ Jesus to perform for him? And I would say that those who are so caught up in this are either not saved, and this is the fruit that we see that they aren't saved, or they're very immature. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time to put this away. But I want to listen to one of Sports Spectrum's teachings, so to speak. Now, this comes from a couple of guys named Ron Brown and Frank Gardenia, who were reporting from the All-American Bowl in San Antonio, Texas. I'm going to play this excerpt, and then we're going to have you comment on it, and then we're going to wrap up things with a few other related issues. But let's listen to this particular excerpt. Again, this is from Sports Spectrum, and the date is January 7th. It was a Saturday, of course.
But back to some of the issues of humility and trying to keep sports in focus. It all comes down, Ron, to, for Christian athletes, trying to keep sports in their proper perspective. Yes, you work at it, you work very hard at it to utilize the abilities the Lord has given you, and it's important. But when it becomes your God, so to speak, then it becomes out of whack.
Well, idolatry is one of the, it was probably the largest sin in the world of sports today. Sports are being idolized all over the country, athletes. But Frank, there's two ways of doing sports. It says there's two ways of doing everything. There's God's way and there's man's way. And God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15, verse 19, he said that if you're going to be a spokesman for me, you've got to be willing to extract the precious from the worthless. And it would behoove the Christian coach, the Christian athlete, the Christian administrators, Christian fans, and parents to begin to extract the evil way of doing sports versus God's way of doing sports. And I think that comes from biblical training, but it also comes from an implementation of biblical principles into the sporting world.
Now, Pastor Hamilton, there is an ironic situation and a ironic teaching for you. Why don't you go ahead and comment on it?
Well, I think to say that the person is condemned out of his own mouth would be an understatement.
Amen.
I can imagine him feeling extremely guilty while he's saying what he's saying. And I think when he was commenting there on the supposed godly way of doing sports and the ungodly way of doing sports, the fact of the matter is that those who are quote-unquote Christians in sports are involved in an ungodly industry. Everything surrounding it is ungodly. Now, I don't know what he means by the biblical way of doing sports. I really don't. Again, we're back to this idea of sports and faith colliding. And frankly, when someone gives their entire life to professional sports, when someone spends their every spare moment dealing with some issue relating to their profession, which is professional sports, how can that not be their God? Yeah. When you're out there on the field or on the golf course or whatever it may be, on the Lord's own day, instead of worshiping him in his house, how is that not idolatry? You've already made sport your God. And despite all the protestations about, you know, that we don't want to be into idolatry and we want to keep sports in perspective, what does he mean by keeping sports in perspective? Because someone who is a professional athlete, the perspective for him is that this is my life.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This goes back to another issue, which we don't have time for today. But it is this idea, and I know that we have brothers that will disagree with us, but I'm sorry, I stand firm on this, this idea that there are 9 commandments now. And that this aspect of the moral law, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, has been somehow set aside, and so then that justifies sitting in front of a TV set, I guess, all day. I can't agree with that. But that's another issue. But I want to just, before we close, a couple, you know, tie things up a little bit here. First of all, I grieve. I mean, I grieve for the Christians who have been so led astray by their pastors. I grieve for older Christians who are into this habit, and maybe the very old that are housebound, and this is what they do. I mean, they go to the TV set and they watch sports, and their whole thought pattern has been so corrupted by the bad teaching, the bad example, and it's just so sad because they're missing out on so much joy in the Lord and so much comfort in the Lord. And I grieve for the young people who are being so corrupted by these, I think, effeminate men playing football. I think it makes them effeminate, quite frankly, the way modern sports is. But the very nature of spectator sports, such as football or basketball, and I think this is important to point out, it lends itself to an addiction which draws Christians into the world away from Christian service. They spend hours every week watching games, talking about games, reading about games. And this is not the way to mature. This is not the way to advance in the faith. This is certainly not the way to strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ on this earth. And I'll tell you one other thing before I turn it over to you for a few last comments. This idea that we're going to have this non-threatening, fun way of sharing the gospel, and we're going to have these sports shows that the world says, hey, they sound just like us, and then slip a little gospel in supposedly. I mean, whatever happened to the godly sorrow that worketh repentance, that's necessary for salvation, whatever happened to that, whatever happened to the truth from the scripture that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, whatever happened to all that? But the scriptures say this. I know there's going to be people that will say, oh, there he goes again, and I don't agree with that. He's a killjoy. I mean, nothing is appropriate in his eyes. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, what you've heard today is truth from the scriptures. And Pastor Hamilton, before we sign off, do you have any last comments?
Well, what I would say is this. Anything at all, even those things that are legitimate, can become illegitimate because we give so much time and attention to them. And the whole idea that you can be cool and be a Christian militates against the scriptures. When you have a trite and anemic presentation of a so-called gospel, then you're going to have conversions, supposedly, that reflect that. And to use the Super Bowl halftime show as an opportunity to evangelize those people from the neighborhood that you've invited in is frankly a compromise of the worst kind. I was reading a testimony of someone who was involved in this so-called Power to Win outreach project, and they were pleased to report another year of success. According to a survey response that was received, over 2,400 people were supposedly making first-time decisions for Christ during Super Bowl 39. Another 3,300 rededicated their lives to the Lord, and over 267,000 people attended Power to Win parties. So we pray that many more seeds were planted. And I'm quoting from their website. I really believe that this is false, and even though someone could possibly point to one or two individuals who were truly converted, and they would say, well, doesn't that make it all worthwhile? Well, frankly, if I were a farmer and 99.999% of my crop was chaff, I would be looking at my farming methods and I would be saying, this is not right. Sure. And I really believe that, as I said earlier, professional athletes are doing more to destroy the worship of God than perhaps any other group, because you think of it, people traveling to stadia to watch games, people who are watching it on TV, you know, spending the Lord's Day in this activity. It militates against the idea that somehow we're helping people to be saved and to become good members of churches. I mean, it really is a clear example of false evangelism, of a false gospel, and I believe that Christians need to stand clear of it.
Well, of course, we would point out that people get saved by the grace of God. If some people are saved in a bad situation by the grace of God, don't do despite to the grace of God. by then giving credit to this false gospel, this false method of evangelism, these worldly ways, this corrupt sports world approach. That's just doing despite to the grace of God. God reached down and saved those people in spite of everything that was done to get in the way of their salvation through these sports things.
In spite of it. In spite of it. That's not right. Because of it. In spite of it.
And what does the devil want? He wants a false gospel, he wants false converts, and he wants a false church. And these people are certainly helping in that regard. And we do have to sign off. But I want to say this. Those Christian radio networks who air Christian Sports Minute and Sports Spectrum ought to be ashamed of their contribution to the ever-accelerating downgrade in religion we are witnessing, this downgrade in the evangelical world. These people ought to be ashamed of themselves. And the same way with all of this idea that, well, we're going to get people in by dangling some worldly sensual thing in front of their face, and then we're going to see them get saved. I think that's relying on the flesh and not on the spirit in
spiritual
manner.
Well, I think I've likened it in the past to a woman supposedly giving a testimony for Christ while dressed in a bikini.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. The message and the medium don't match.
That's exactly right. But we do have to sign off. Pastor Stephen Hamilton, real quickly, in fact, the music's coming up, but I think you had a sermon on this very issue, didn't you? That would be at Sermon Audio, wouldn't it?
On sermonaudio.com, I have a sermon entitled The Entertainment Syndrome. And it deals especially with the aspect of Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, Reverend Stephen Hamilton, pastor of Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church, Allentown, Pennsylvania. If you live in that area, you might want to check out that church. I would if I lived there and needed a church. I'll tell you that right now.